As promised, Merrill Hodge in studio for the next half hour. So great to have you here.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bring an NFL. Are you
Chiller?
Yeah, you could do that.
That's fine.
Can you skate?
No.
Okay.
But he can
many NHLers couldn't skate, but we won't name them. We're not going to name names.
That was the one in the
Boat. I'm going to bring the fire.
In the Bo Jackson commercial, it's the one thing. It's the one thing he
couldn't
do.
He could not. Wayne Gretzky told you that he could not.
As he said, no.
No.
It was the one he couldn't do. The book's called Brainwash, the Bad Science Between CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. I bet you, I think this is probably like a movie trailer where you see the trailer. Some folks see the trailer and they're either like, the trailer does not say or does not give you a great sense what's in the book. Now, I think yours does, but wouldn't you say some of the controversy between your books, more about the title than, because I think there's very specific arguments, and I think you look at both sides. It's not, reading the book, it's not a one-sided argument, but the title's meant to sort of draw you in a little bit, maybe make you think it's something you're not. Am I the first person to suggest that?
Because you're the first person to read it. Where I did a read. I can honestly tell you, I can tell the difference when we start an interview, somebody who has read it versus hasn't read it. And you make a lot of good points. You're right. You know, when you see the title, it's easy to draw an assumption of what the book is really about. And then when you read it, your mind is open to what it is really about. And that's what I try to tell people. I was no different than probably anybody sitting in this studio or listening to you right now. I mean, if you've heard the word CTE, what is it? I mean, I've been in the media, both sides, for well over 30 years. I know how much misinformation exists. I know how people present information. I know how people lack due diligence and then present things as facts. So it really sent me on a quest. I wanted to find out, like, what is it? What is the real facts behind it? So I went to neuropathologists. In fact, the journey took me up here in Toronto. In fact, one of the most brilliant minds I've ever run across in this world actually was Lily Hazarati here in Canada. I mean, I sat for 6 hours with her, and she educated me in ways that I was just blown away. But all of them.
What's the biggest thing you learned from her? Tell us about that.
Here was the consenting thing from everybody. When I was like, well, tell me what this is. They're like, listen, Merrill, it's a tau pattern that we've observed and we've been observing. We don't know what causes it, and we don't know what it causes. He goes, it's a tau, and taus we all have. Okay, that's like a freckle on your arm. A freckle is a disease. It's an abnormality of the skin. It doesn't mean you're going to get skin cancer. Taus in our brain do not mean you're going to have any cognitive issues or issues in life, period. She goes, it's a pattern, but we don't know what causes it. Then she went through all of the lists of cases, people who have the pattern CTE, never played football, never played hockey, never played contact sports, never had a history of head trauma. And I'm like, well, time out. Like, the only time you ever hear about that pattern is in football or hockey. And I'm like, that's a travesty. If this pattern exists in 1-year-old, a 4-month-old, I mean, I could keep going on and on all the cases, but you never hear that. So right there, that eliminates contact sports and or any specific sport like hockey.
Because what, biologically and genetically, the theory is some people are more predisposed to develop CTE.
No.
In the early stages.
Absolutely no scientific evidence.
But you mentioned something that is biological or genetic, which is a freckle.
Listen, when you look at dementia, okay, here's the leading contributors to all brain health, cancers, and cardiovascular disease. Obesity, inactivity. If you want to throw obesity, it's only 25 pounds of excess fat. Okay, it's not 125, 25 pounds. And when you talk about just obesity and the things that it erodes in our body, it's not just our internal organs and skeletal structure. It's our cognitive abilities to work. And then you look at cardiovascular disease, and cancers. You got obesity, drugs, alcohol, opioids, and inactivity. And then age and genetics. Of those things I just mentioned, only two you don't control. Age and genetics.
Did you feel like they've gotten off path because of that? Because clearly there is a problem when it comes to head trauma leading to something else later on down, that there's been too much looking into CTE, and maybe there's something else that they haven't hit on that is a problem.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I just mentioned what the problems that they know scientifically. Now, let me finish that part. When I said obesity, there is scientific evidence, those are contributors to our brain health and all the other issues that we have, from brain health, cardiovascular disease to cancer. All those things are contributors. They know that's a scientific fact. Could those be obesity, inactivity, age? Absolutely. Could be a part of that, of the pattern, CT. Now, there's no scientific evidence, though. When you look at head trauma, what has happened is people have blurred the pattern CTE to a concussion. Okay, there's the injury itself, which is some type of head trauma. Okay, if you want to think about where we were, the NHL, I believe, is the first professional sport to ever mandate cognitive testing. Okay, so you have the injury, and then you have protocols, and then you have treatments, and they all have their own lane. Okay, if you have head trauma, can you have post-concussion symptoms? Absolutely. That's why protocols, treatments, and therapies are so vital and awesome, by the way, what we have today, where we didn't have that.
Way improved.
I mean, right. Now football's been played for nearly 100 years. I don't know how long hockey.
But it's the same.
Okay. Yeah. So think about this. For 90 years or plus, we did nothing for head trauma. Zero. We ignored it. Was like, ah.
You got your bell rung. Get back out there when you can count to three. I know.
Equipment, paper mache to what we have today. Instructions and rules on how we play. Much better and safer today. If I gave you an era, you could do this. And you could say, if I give you an era of when you could play the sport, hockey, and if you didn't pick today, if you picked back and you picked or picked football 50 years ago, say 50 years ago in football, you couldn't even drink water. We did nothing for head trauma. If you didn't pick today, you're really informed. You're massively informed because of all those things that have drastically improved. And just taking care of head trauma is the most vital thing to finish that thing up. But this pattern CTE, unfortunately, gets blurred with an injury, concussion. There's no cause. There's no link from concussion to CTE. Zero scientific evidence of that. But the trauma itself, the protocols that should be in place so that we're doing the right thing for it. Then the treatments and therapies are incredible in how we're helping athletes repair before they return to their activity.
Hugh, I know you want to get something in before letting people know Merrill Hodge is with us. 7 years, 8 years in the NFL, Pittsburgh and Chicago. Brainwash the Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football is the book.
Yeah, Merrill, I'm just curious as to the interactions you've had with some of the older retired players who are maybe dealing with CTE now. And what's been their reaction to your book?
Well, when you say CTE now, I know of nobody who that I could say has CTE now. You can't diagnose CTE in a living person. So, you know, you can't say, how are they dealing.
Or perhaps suffering the cumulative results of.
There's players that
the
say,
ongoing.
I think I have it.
Yeah. Right, right.
See, we
surely
know that.
They're coming to you and they're saying what?
Right. And this is what's unfortunate. I'm going to go back to what they said. Not just Lily Hazzarotti here. Okay. Everybody in the United States I went with, everybody in Canada I met with, who's got great integrity and speaks in truth. And when I say truth, they talk about the scientific literature. Because the first thing, people that are on the other end of these words are like, oh, you're a denier. Oh, you don't know. Let me just tell you this. If you have never read the scientific literature, okay, scientific literature is not the local paper. It's not local news. In JAMA journals like that. If you have not even read the scientific literature, you actually are a denier because you are uninformed of the actual truth. So to answer your question, there is absolutely, they have no idea what causes it. Therefore, they don't know what it causes. So what symptoms are you talking about? There is no diagnosis of symptoms of it. But when people have depression, they immediately go, oh, I got CT. Well,
but is there a resentment toward you for?
You've taken some blowback.
Your thoughts and theory,
and the theory of the doctors, the medical professionals that you quote in the book that helped you write the book.
Right. If you look at, to get your point, is like a player, and this has happened, a player goes in the NFL, they're like, oh, man, you're messing with my money. I'm like, now that can't be a more ignorant comment to say that. Okay, what I have done in this book has absolutely no relevancy on the case that has already been, done. Okay. It's already over. They can't go back into the court because I wrote this book and take that judgment back or the agreement that the NFL had. So it has no bearing on it. But I go, it should empower you with the real truth. Okay. How you take care of yourself, being proactive in your health, is going to be a lot more important than when you played football 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. There's more scientific evidence how we take care of ourselves, and there's responsibility in that. So many players want to make excuses. Oh, it's when I because I played football. It's because I played hockey. Meanwhile, I was an alcoholic for 10 years. Well, but I quit. Well, so you quit football, too. You quit hockey, too. Are you going to tell me there's no accountability for your alcohol, your abuse, your obesity, your inactivity, the lifestyle that you've gone about creating? You're going to blame
something
10 years ago.
Sometimes they would argue, though, that the repetitive head trauma led to that type of behavior after their playing career.
And what would you say to a parent who's hearing that, saying, my kid, I don't want him to play football?
Well, I'm going to answer yours first, then I'll answer yours second. First of all, I would never tell a parent what to do, but I coached youth football for nearly 20 years, and I would get this question a lot. And the first thing I would tell them is, like, listen, what's their passion? Feed their passion, but inform yourself on the environment they're entering, whether it's hockey, baseball, football. Do you have protocols? Ask those questions. You know, how do you guys handle practice? Be involved as a parent. I go, if they don't have a protocol, I'll be the first one to tell you, remove them. Do not let them go to that environment, because we, not only every youth program in Eddie should have some type of protocol in place, and they should be taking action in that form. So that answered that question. Mm-hmm. And you just said something that people, they say without even thinking. Do you know what a subconcussion hit is? Because you just said it like several times there. Do you know what subconcussion hit is? Thanks. And don't feel bad.
Okay.
Everybody who talks about it
doesn't
know either. And you know who's the most disturbing people who don't know what it is? The scientific community.
Okay.
There's more scientific literature talking about subconcussions.
Okay.
Because, see, so you just talked about repetitive blows. So let me tell you this. If you jump on a trampoline, that's a sudden move. If you go to a theme park and you go on any ride, that's a sudden move, a sudden shift.
Okay, but there are widows of former NFL players who say, my husband's behavior wasn't anything like that until he started suffering the concussions, and he became an entirely different person. There has to be some sort of link, don't you believe?
Absolutely not. I'm only going to believe what the scientific literature said, and that's a real problem. When you go, shouldn't we believe what? What scientific literature have you ever read? Okay, first of all, if we talk about the players.
Well, it's anecdotal when you get a spouse talking about
their
husband, but they know that person better than anybody, and they're just telling you what they're seeing.
Okay, but are they accounting for, you know, a player's done for, you know, been retired for 15, 20 years? Mike Webster was my roommate when I was a rookie here. I can't even begin to describe. Well, let's just use your job right here. Let's say tomorrow I say, you guys can no longer be on radio. You've been doing this right. I don't care how long. You're done. Now, you can't go to another place either. You're done. Now, I will tell you this. Not having a purpose and that change, that is, you talk about what that does to your mental health. All the guys that you just referenced, okay, we could go back in their past and look at their history at that time. Alcohol was a problem. Mike Webster had opioid issues on both. Mental issues on both sides. The family was dealing with an opioid issue. He died of a heart disease too, by the way. That he had had a heart issue his entire life. He had a stent in his heart. Nobody's ever died of CT. Zero. Now, committing suicide over the hysteria of it, I would not disagree with that. But if you say something caused a suicide, then you should be able to answer what causes depression.
And here's what I'd see, because I said to these guys jokingly, I said, I'm more on your side than maybe they feel, only because, let me take some examples of guys. Troy Aikman had 8 concussions in his career. Steve Young had 8 or 9. John Lynch had a bunch. I look at those people, Merrill, and I see really successful, smart people who made really good post-career decisions. It probably hurt to be out of the game. Man, it got ripped away from Troy Aikman and Steve Young really early. Junior Seau, tremendous respect as a player. There's no concussion that's impacting his choices to gamble, to have affairs, to get into illicit drugs, to behave violently and erratically. I absolutely positively think, and we've seen this in hockey, Bob Probert, people will know this, nobody lived harder than Bob Probert of the Detroit Red Wings to find out he had CTE because of decades of alcohol and drug use, in part, and feeling depressed that you're out of it. You're right. Everybody's going to feel depressed when their career ends. You got to pick yourself back up. You'd love to play football. We'd love to, you know, everybody love to do what they love doing the most, their dream job forever. You can't do it. But I bring up those guys as shining examples of guys who lived and made individual decisions in a post-concussion world that didn't involve gaining weight, going crazy, having affairs, breaking down your marriage, money problems. I empathize with all those people and people who are alive and who've lost their lives, but I'm not 100% sure that we're putting three letters together and saying that's the reason it's happening.
Well, actually, I'm 100% sure that that's what people have done and grotesquely uninformed by doing so. You just listed all of that are scientific contributors to all kinds of mental health and issues that we now are blaming one thing and creating an excuse for versus helping people with mental health, people that are having issues. You know, listen, what I've learned on this journey, I could have been a better teammate for Mike Webster. Now that I know what I know today, I would have been a much better teammate to Mike Webster when I understood the true facts.
You're probably right, but people will make their choices, won't they? And you can try and talk them out of it. A lot of people try to talk Bob Probert out of his behavior.
But what we haven't talked about here is that, Merrill, you went through this. I mean, you went through it. It cost you the end of your career. What did you learn about you?
Right. And listen, I was actually talking to Beth on the way over here, my publicist, and we were talking about I've been on that couch with no purpose and no direction. And you talk about depressed. I mean, looking like like I had nothing. Okay. Well, I actually wrote one book before this book was called Find a Way. And those words have resonated with me since I was a kid. What they've always inspired was action. And I one day was on a couch and I'd been going to counseling. My career was ended. The football season ended in the middle of the season, not at the end, even, by the way. So I'm watching this go on. I couldn't be more depressed. I've never been through more depression than that. But I started feeling like, you know what, I got to take action. I got to start changing some things. So I started reaching out, and I had worked a little bit on my life's work afterwards, but had not expected to do it because I just got in Chicago with a 3-year deal. Did not expect it to happen that year. But once I started to apply some action into things, things started to open up. I started to find a purpose, and that's when that changed. If that had not happened, or I had not done something, and just stayed on the couch and gotten more depressed. Could I have been like them? Sure could have been. But I will tell you this, it wasn't going to be from a concussion that I had had, okay? There's no scientific evidence of that. And even if you have the pattern CT, because we could talk about Zarly Zalapsky when we come back a little bit. He's a great case of doesn't fit the mold, but he had the pattern. Okay, but that's not why he died. Nobody's ever died of
CT. Let's do that when we come back then.
Yeah, quick.
You were talking about Zarly Zalapsky, the former NHLer that passed away 2 Decembers ago.
Yeah, what's interesting? Zarly Zalapsky and I were drafted in Pittsburgh the same year, in 1987. Him for the Penguins and me for the Steelers. We did, together in 1989, a helmet safety campaign where we launched it throughout the country in the United States about trying to encourage parents, if their kids are going to ride bikes, put a helmet on them. Now, this is back in 1989 because all of these tragic deaths with kids just tipping over and hitting their head on a curb and killing them or major brain trauma, and he was part of that campaign with me. And so when he passed away, actually his sister had reached out to me, Kyla, about he was in a transition, quite honest, from hockey to life. But, they had, if I remember right, they've had a disease in their family, Zarly's heart issue is what caused his death. And she just asked me, should I have his brain looked at? And I go, because he doesn't fit the mold. He wasn't the type of player, wasn't a drinker, didn't all do all those things you talked about. I said, absolutely. The problem is everything's been a biased study. They haven't even looked at the female gender yet. How in the heck can you ignore half of the population on this planet and say we're going to have any type of
And quick to whatsoever. Note, there are more concussions to in women's hockey players in college hockey,
Amen.
And it's non-contact.
Amen, right.
It's non-contact compared to the NCAA hockey ranks.
Merrill Hodge, thank you so much for
thank
joining
you
us.
Thank you, guys, man. I appreciate it.
You got three more words. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Gosh dang it.
Let's go, Chiefs. That's it. You're out of words.
Let's go, Chiefs.
Right, there you go.